That might be difficult, Grant said. This is still a busy time here. The rose groves need pruning, and there's the second grain crop to drill. We can hardly take able men from the land.
Can't be helped. I'm calling in all the county militias.
All of them?
Great so, old chap. We've blacked it from the news, you understand, but the situation in Boston, frankly, doesn't look good.
What situation? You're not seriously telling me that bloody Union rabble worries you?
Grant, Trevor Clark's voice dropped an octave.
Listen, this is totally confidential, but there are already 5 districts in Boston that have been completely taken over by this mob, rendered ungovernable. We have a state of open insurrection here. If we send the police in to re-establish order, they don't come out again. The city is under martial law, insofar as we can enforce it. I'm worried, Grant.
Dear Christ, the Democratic Land Union has done this?
We're not sure. Whoever these insurrectionists are, they seem to be armed with energy weapons. That means off-planet complicity. But it's hard to believe the Union could ever be organized about something like that. You know what they're like. Hot heads smashing up tractors and plows. Energy weapons break every letter in our Constitution. They are everything this society was set up to avoid.
An outside force?
Grant Kavanagh could hardly believe what he was hearing.
It may be.
I have asked the Chancellor's office in Norwich to request the Confederation Navy Squadron extends its duty tour. Fortunately, the personnel are all still here having their shore leave. The squadron commander is recalling them back up to orbit now.
What good is that?
The Navy starships can make damn sure nothing else is delivered to the insurrectionists from out-system. And as a last resort, they can provide our ground forces with strike power.
Grant sat perfectly still.
Ground forces, strike power. It was unreal. Through the windows he could see Cricklade's peaceful worlds, rich and verdant, and here he was calmly talking about virtual civil war.
But God's teeth, man! This is a city we're talking about. You can't use starship weapons against Boston. There are 120,000 people living there.
I know, Trevor Clark said mordantly. One of the militia's major assignments will be to help evacuate the civilians. You will be minimizing casualties, Grant.
Have you told the Chancellor what you're planning? Because if you haven't, I damn well will.
There was a silence which lasted for several seconds.
Grant, Trevor Clark said gently, it was the Chancellor's office that recommended this action to me.
It must be done while the insurrectionists are concentrated in one place, before they have a chance to spread their damnable revolution. So many people are joining them.
I never thought there was so much dissatisfaction on the planet. It has to be stopped, and stopped in a way that forbids repetition.
Oh, my God, Grant Kavanagh said brokenly.
All right, Trevor, I understand. I'll call in the militia captains this afternoon. The regiment will be ready for you by tomorrow.
Good man, Grant, I knew I could rely on you.
There will be a train to collect you from Colsterworth Station. We'll billet you in an industrial warehouse outside town. And don't worry, man, the starships are only a last resort. I expect we'll only need one small demonstration, and they'll cave in.
Yes, I'm sure you're right. Grant returned the pearl-handled phone to its cradle, a morbid premonition telling him it could never be that simple.
The train had 6 passenger carriages, room enough for all of the Stoke County militia 700 men. It took them 25 minutes to embark. The station was a scene of pure chaos. Half of the town's streets were clogged with carts, carriages, buses, and farm ranger vehicles. Families took a long time saying goodbye. Men were shifty and irritable in their grey uniforms. Complaints about ill-fitting boots rippled up and down the platform. Louise and Marjorie were pressed against the wall of the station with a pile of kit bags on one side and olive-green metal ammunition boxes on the other. Some of the boxes had date stamps over 10 years old. 3 hard-faced men were guarding the ammunition, stumpy black guns cradled in their arms. Louise was beginning to regret coming. Genevieve hadn't been allowed. Mr. Butterworth, in his sergeant-major's uniform, marched up and down the platform, ordering people about. The train was gradually filled. Work teams began to load the kit bags and ammunition into the first carriage's mail compartment.